you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're discussing this month Matthew 17, and last time we talked about what a gift it was for Peter, James, and John to see the transfiguration of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did I say that right?
You did. You got it. You got it.
This time we're going to go on and talk about Peter. And, you know, Peter is the bold one, and we just love him. And we'll just see what boldness he's saying this time.
Oh, our beloved Peter. So to catch those up who may not have heard the last two radio shows, it's at a point, and we're in Matthew 17, 1 through 11, where Jesus has taken Peter, James, and John up the mountain with him. And at the top of the mountain, when they're up there, Jesus' face and his clothes change. He's literally transfigured. And a Moses and Elijah appear, and they begin to talk with him. And Peter sees what is going on, and he shouts out, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let's make three shelters, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you." And so we're going to stop there in the story. Okay. Oh, we were talking about how Peter is just so quick and so fast to say things, to recognize things. And I ended with saying what we have to understand is that he does have a hysterical, historical, a historical reasoning behind why he said what he said. In his mind, he is visualizing the Feast of Booths, which would be the Feast of Tabernacles, where they would have built tents. To recognize, looking back to what happened in the wilderness wanderings, and how they had been in the wilderness and wandered around for a long time, but it's also a looking forward to the fulfillment of what God will do in the kingdom. And so, because he saw that in this moment, a historical, if you can even imagine, Moses, the one that gave us the law, and Elijah, the prophet that was so aligned with God that he took off in a chariot of fire to heaven, and no one saw him to say that he had died, standing with Jesus. He's like, "Let's just stay here for a moment." And I laugh because I did not catch until this morning. He says, "It's good for us." "It's good for us to be here, Lord." But what about the disciples? What about the other people that still needed to hear? What about Jerusalem and Judea to the outermost parts of the world? He hasn't heard that yet, but we know that. And you know, what about, so have you ever had a moment that was so incredibly amazing and spiritual, and it just, you kind of like want to keep it for us? I know when it comes to discipling people, I've had to learn that I can't have it to be where I got to keep them for me. That's one of the things. And so in a way, he is inward focus. It's good for us to be here. Let's build these shelters. But even in his, what he's speaking, he's not thinking through. And Matthew does not tell us he does not know what he is saying. Mark and Luke, they tell us he did not know what he was saying. And the reason why he did not know what he was saying is he was putting Moses, Elijah, and Jesus in the same plane.
Yeah, right.
Three shelters. Yeah. Ooh.
And you know, mine doesn't even say shelter. Mine says shrine. So that really.
Wow. What translation is that one?
The NLT.
The NLT uses the word shrine.
I came back to my old NLT. I really like
Wow.
Words.
Wow. Yeah. New Living Translation.
Mine says shelter says shelters.
Yeah, it's a shelter.
Memorials.
Yeah, memorial. Like a tent. It's like in the Feast of Tabernacles.
I think it's the NLT.
Yeah. And so he's actually put them on an even level. And there you cannot put Jesus on the same level as Moses and Elijah. Or let me rephrase that. You cannot put Moses and Elijah on the same as Jesus. They are nothing but forerunners. They are people that will point us to Christ. They are not the people that we need to focus in on. The law is gone. The prophets proclaimed to get us to the Messiah. It will always be Jesus and Jesus alone. Go ahead, Janelle.
I think that that's really pointed out by God's correction that comes next. Is like, hold on a minute, Peter. Let me change your perspective.
Yeah.
This is my son with who I'm well pleased. It's such a statement of identity. It's like, okay, Moses and Elijah, yeah, they were cool. But this is my son. This is the Son of God listen to him. Like, Jesus is going to set you straight. Here's how.
That's
and,
good.
Oh, it's uh-huh. it's so such a statement of Christ's identity in comparison.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Mm. And he said it at the baptism, you know, when he was baptized by John.
Well, I liked the fact that what Janelle was saying is, but it says while he was still speaking, he didn't even want him to continue to have. He didn't want him to continue to have the thought that they were all the same.
Sometimes we need to be stopped right in our tracks.
Yep. Sometimes we have to be stopped in our tracks. And so I love that Janelle brought that up, and I love that Sandy brought it up. Now I'm looking because I wanted us to look it up, and I've written it down, and I don't know where I have it because I have the actual verses for the baptism, where it is expressed, and what happens in Jesus' baptism, and also what happens. Here it is. I want somebody to go to Matthew 3:13-17 and pull that up. And then I need another person to go to John 12:28. And then on the 28, we will also do verse 30 in John 12. So who has the Matthew 3:13-17?
I have it.
Okay,
it's that NLT. It's the study Bible. I don't know if yours is a study Bible or not, Tanya, but
okay.
Mine is.
Okay. Yondale, would you do for me then? You do the John 12. Go to John 12 while she's doing. You can mark that, but get John 12:28 and then also verse 30. I'll have you do those. And Sandy will do the baptism. We have to see the three times that are significant up to that the voice of heaven really speaks and what he's talking about. So, Sandy, you do the baptism.
Okay. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John didn't want to baptize him. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it must be done because we must do everything that is right. So then John baptized him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, and I am fully well pleased with him.
Okay. So that allows us to see how the voice of heaven, the Father of heaven, is repeating when he authenticated Jesus's ministry with the baptism. Right here, we have the voice of heaven authenticating what's about to happen in Jerusalem. Do you see? It's both the beginning of the ministry and the end of ministry as being affirmed by God. Yondale, I want you to read John 12:28 and verse 30, because what we're going to see here is Jesus is in the process of talking to some Greek people, and as he's having the conversation, he's in the middle of a conversation with them, and then all of a sudden he just says a prayer out loud as he's talking to the people. So it's kind of like, you know, and then all of a sudden the voice of heaven speaks again. And so read that one for us, John. Yondale. I just renamed you. And John.
Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Every time the voice of heaven speaks, it's so that we can hear it. And just as Jesus told John at the baptism, and John didn't want, different John, didn't want to baptize Jesus. He says it's to fulfill all righteousness. I think it says to do what is right for now in your translation. But here, so he's talking to these Greeks that are wanting to meet, and they're in the presence, and they come because they want to meet Jesus. And then he's in the middle of a conversation with them, and he prays, Father, give glory to your name. It's just an automatic overflow of, I'm having this conversation, and so this prayer is spoken, and then the voice of heaven says, I've given it glory, and I will give it glory. Is that incredible? I was like blown away at how amazing that was. Just a simple spoken prayer of him saying, Father, just give your name glory, and God answers from heaven. I've done it, and I'm going to continue to do it. You know, and the people were like, oh, I was, you know, what is this? And Jesus says, this was not for me. This was for you. The voice of heaven is so that we will grasp what God is trying to teach us. Okay? And I just, wow, right? Mm-hmm. So he repeats here for Peter's sake. This is my son whom I love, and with him I'm well pleased. He's firming up what was already stated at the baptism. Okay? Now he says one thing that needs to happen in three words. Listen to him. Okay? Sure is easy when we have the prophets and the law for us to focus on that, right? Mm-hmm. And but God is summing up, it has to be his son.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think we need to get that? Go ahead, Iva.
Jesus was the living word of God. He was everything that the law and the prophets wished they could be.
Mm. Isn't that amazing? They were also wanting to see,
mm-hmm.
and to yeah. hear. I mean, they longed for it, and here he's there. So, yeah, pretty incredible, wow. isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what is the response? How do they respond?
Face down.
Mm-hmm. Face down.
How would you respond?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I have a question. Why weren't they face down when they saw the glory?
That is an interesting question.
Why were they not face down when they saw Jesus' glory?
Maybe he glowed other times?
I think it would have told us.
Yeah.
I think they would have told us. I mean, that is like...
Maybe they were distracted by the presence of Moses and Elijah.
It could be, because we get distracted.
Yeah.
That's a good point. His voice.
The voice probably was very loud.
Well, it doesn't on this one say, but
it just says
powerful.
The voice came, but yeah.
But what we need to know is the word that is used for they were afraid, it terrified. It was terror. It was not reverence. It was mm-hmm. not awe. Mm-hmm. It was not, I'm going to worship mm-hmm. you. It was boom. You know, that was the voice of heaven
fear.
Spoke. I am flat on my face.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they went to their knees connotes worship.
Yeah.
So it is okay. a terror of worship.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's just, and so this part just, it makes me so tickled. How many times did Jesus have to go over, touch them, pick them up and say, do not be
do
afraid?
Not be afraid.
There's a couple of boat scenes, right?
Yeah.
You know, in different times. I mean, it's like a norm for them, you know, mm-hmm. let's, can we repeat this scene? How many times with you, Lord? And he walks over and what does he do?
He touches them.
He touches them. And then he says what?
Do not be afraid.
Get up.
Get up.
Yeah. Get up.
Get up. Get up.
What I thought of is how many times does he do this to us?
Yeah.
Yep. Don't be yeah. afraid.
Yep.
Don't be afraid. Get up.
But okay. then he uses that gentle voice too and he says, mm-hmm. hey, Sandy, I've got this.
Yes.
Let go.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to put this in the realm of sin. Sin is not here listed, but I'm just going to think on sin. Sometimes I think we fall flat in terror because we've sinned and we don't know what to do. We have to have this picture of Jesus touching and saying, get up, do not be afraid. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Get up, do not be afraid. Get up, do not be afraid. And I can't tell you how often I have circumstances in my life where I'm talking to people and they are so struck flat. They can't get out of the terror that I've sinned against God. Mm. That they need the touch and they need to hear, get up, do not be afraid. Okay? And I want us to take it then to the next sentence because that's going to help us focus in on why. When they looked up, it says they saw no one except Jesus.
Mm.
Why is that significant? Why is that important?
Well, there's no more distractions like we talked about earlier. It's just, there's nothing between them anymore. There's like we talked about also earlier, there's no veil. There's no anything. It's just Jesus before
them. No, it's just
them.
His glory wasn't showing now. It's just Jesus.
It is Jesus, mm-hmm. but they've seen the glory.
They've already seen mm-hmm. it.
Okay. Yandale?
I also think it's sort of parallel with the idea of the beginning of wisdom is fear. So like when they heard that booming voice and then they fell face down, that's when Jesus was allowed to come in and say, hey, don't be afraid.
That's good.
So
that's good. Iva?
Also, the law was gone. The law is what accuses us as unrighteous before God.
Good.
That's good.
Very mm-hmm. good. Very good. All right. Tanya, you have anything on your heart that fits in?
I'm thinking it's just going to be him and them now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. who we got to focus on. That's who we got to keep our eyes fixed on.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Spurgeon, let me see. I'm going to see if I can find where I wrote it down. Spurgeon actually said, they appeared to them, meaning Moses and Elijah appeared to the disciples, but they only talked to Jesus. Mm-hmm. They talked to Jesus because he's the master. The disciples got to see. And so although saints are seen by men, their fellowship must be with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's, we cannot forget that we will be doing, people will be doing, there will be those that are watching or whatever, but our vision must always be on Jesus and Jesus alone. It cannot waver and it cannot focus in on so many things. And so often we can become burdened by law. Mm-hmm. We can become burdened by proclamations, mm-hmm. okay, as a prophets, whatever. But the reality is our eyes need to be on Jesus. And it's not until we get our focus just on Jesus that we're able to get up and do what we need to do.
I thought about that when I was thinking about Peter walking on the water.
Yes.
That's when I saw that, you know, it said, you know, when they saw no one except Jesus. And then it was, don't be afraid. When we take our
off.
When you take mm-hmm. your focus off, you sink.
Yep. Yeah,
that's why he's sure. So I just loved that parallel.
It is a beautiful mm-hmm. parallel, isn't it? Okay, so we're going to be closing up for this segment, and I just wanted to say thank you to all of the listeners that provide for Cultivating Hearts to be on the radio. We thank you for the Open Door Mission that sponsors us, and we wouldn't be on here if it weren't for listeners and for donors that make it possible. And I also want to say thank you to those that pray faithfully for the ministry. It just means a lot, and that's the impact behind why God's allowed us to do it as long as we have been doing it. God bless.